Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning as we continue our Lenten journey together. Although for some of us, it's a little sad. This Lenten journey is coming to an end. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday and begins Holy Week. And so we're coming closer and closer to leaving aside the purple color, to leaving aside the meditation and confession, and moving into the celebrations. Our Lenten journey continues this week here at St. John's with our final midweek Lenten service on Wednesday evening. The service begins at 7 and will include music and prayers, and we will look at the last three symbols of the disciples there on the archway for that service. But this week, just because it's that last week, please join us at 6 o'clock downstairs because there will be pie. Come on, who doesn't like pie? Myron and Sharon said, you know, we could do that. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to say no. So 6 o'clock down in the fellowship hall, we'll join together for some fellowship and some pie. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll move upstairs and join in our final midweek Lent service. As I said, next Sunday is Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday and begins Holy Week. Services next week are, as usual, 8:30 and 10:30 on Sunday morning. But then that next week, not this coming week, but the following week, we have service on Monday, Thursday. We have service on Good Friday, all leading up to our celebration of Easter Sunday on Sunday, April 9. If you're with us on Monday, Thursday, the service begins at 7 p.m. and three of our young people will be receiving their very first communion that day. And so you can join us for that. On Good Friday, we will be recalling our Lord Jesus and all that he did for us, either at 1:30 in the chapel or 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Please join us for those services on that great and holy week. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope that you have a chance to read through them. I want to make sure I say thank you to this. It's a multi-congregational bell choir, right? I wasn't sure what to call you, and I wasn't going to say ding-a-lings, but I could have, you know. Oops, I think I just did. No. So we thank them for being here. They're going to be playing for us, and then they need to make a hasty retreat. And so please don't think them rude, all right? Thank you all for being here. We've joined in worship. Let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song. The song is Your Grace is Enough. Let us rise and sing together. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson this morning comes from Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning at the first verse. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied, as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson comes from Romans chapter 8, beginning at the sixth verse. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the spirit, since the spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now, once again, our gospel this morning is lengthy. And so I will have you rise at an appropriate time. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, Mary got up quickly and went to Jesus. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with Mary in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not be dead." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" The congregation's rise. Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have any of you ever seen the movie Jason and the Argonauts? It was one of my favorites when I was growing up. And when I showed my son Noah, he really took to it and loved that movie. It's filled with all of that great Ray Harryhausen stop motion anime. Oh, wonderful stuff. There's a scene in the movie where the evil king sows dragon's teeth on the ground. And from where those dragon's teeth are sown, up rises a skeleton warrior to fight Jason and all his valiant friends. Now, these fighting skeletons have always been a reminder to me of our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel, where we stand in that valley of dry bones. From Ezekiel's description, we hear those bones rattling and coming together, which is kind of creepy, but also kind of reminds me of those skeletons rising up from out of the ground. But you see, the amazing thing is this. These images in Ezekiel, they're not meant to frighten us. They're not meant to terrify us. These images in Ezekiel are meant to bring us hope. Now, to be honest, a valley filled with bones is not very inviting or hope-filled. I've seen, maybe we've all seen, photographs of mass graves unearthed where bones are scattered all over. And those images just make me intensely sad, as well as frustrated that it happened, aggravated that we can't stop things like that. In today's Old Testament reading, Ezekiel hears that the bones in this valley are God's people. And at the beginning, God asks of him, "Can these bones live?" You see, our reading from Ezekiel today is a parable or a metaphor describing the state of God's people, both in Israel, but also us today. We hear from this story that on their own, God's people are dead, dried up, forgotten, and they feel abandoned. That was Israel. When Ezekiel was active as a prophet, this was during the time of exile. They had been dragged away from their homeland. They felt dead and wasted and cut off completely. Now, we can feel exactly like that. In times of grief, through times of struggle, we very often feel alone and without a help in the world. We lie about like a pile of dry bones. We feel left out by God, left out by the world, left out by the people we know, even left out by total strangers. This can be us lying in that valley. Now, the amazing good news that I get to share today is that our God is life. And not just life, abundant life. The promise made to Ezekiel and to us is that God opens our graves and brings us back. God breathes into us the breath of life, and we stand ready to follow our Lord. God never abandons us, even though it can feel to us as he does. We are never truly alone, for God is always with us. Now, sometimes it feels like we're fighting the skeleton children of the dragon's teeth. But God is by our side for comfort and strength to guide us and to guard us. Now, this parable in Ezekiel, this metaphor, sings to us with truth and grace. But you see, all of that talk about bones and breath and resurrection and all of that stuff, it's all just metaphorical, right? The story of Lazarus says to us, no. It's not all metaphor and cool stories or frightening images. The power of God's love is real, actual, and right now. Lazarus, Jesus' friend, is sick unto death. Now, over the years, I've read lots of different commentaries and commentators, and some of those commentators believe that Lazarus' condition may have been part of why Jesus loves him so. Jean Vanier, who is the founder of the LARCH International Communities that serve the disabled, the lame, those people with special needs. In his commentary, he wonders, what if Lazarus had something like Down syndrome and all of its accompanying difficulties? Other commentators wonder if Lazarus had something like MS or Huntington's disease. What if Lazarus's condition had thrust him out of society? What if he had been cast out, looked down upon by many around him, leaving then only his two sisters to care for him? Those are exactly the kind of people Jesus gravitates to. Those are the people that Jesus loves very publicly and completely. So when Jesus hears that Lazarus's end may be near, he stays away. I have no idea how difficult that was for Jesus to do. He remained where he was for 2 whole days. Some believe that Jesus prayed for those 2 days. He prayed for the strength to do what he needed to do, both for Lazarus and then also for all of us as he was heading back towards Jerusalem. But whatever his motivation and whatever he did, Jesus gets to Bethany and Lazarus' home after Lazarus has been 4 days in the grave. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That is the bald truth that both Martha and Mary confront Jesus with in today's gospel. But that just shows us how strong their faith is. They know that Jesus loved their brother. They have heard and seen amazing things that Jesus does, and they know that Lazarus would still be with them if Jesus had come right away. Now, there is no way to know that if their message got to Jesus in time, but we all of us know that if Jesus had been there, sometimes we throw that same truth at Jesus in our own lives. Where were you, Jesus? When my grandma or my cousin or my friend or my father died, if you were there, if you had listened to my prayers, this would not have happened. In those moments, we feel left out, cast aside. We are so many dry bones. But the truth is that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves all the grandmas and cousins, all the friends and the fathers. Jesus loved Lazarus. And in today's gospel story, Jesus is going to do something no one could have expected, no one could even have imagined. Jesus has them open the tomb, even after being warned about the smell. And he cries out, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, people had seen Jesus heal the sick, turn water into wine, feed huge crowds of people with a happy meal. But raising from the dead? That doesn't happen. Even those people in that crowd who knew the stories from Ezekiel, who had heard all of those promises, they were not expecting this. Jesus calls out and Lazarus responds. He walks out. Jesus, the Lord of life, the light of the world, had shone down with God's love and given new life to Lazarus and to all of us. Lazarus's return shows that God's love is more than just metaphorical. It's not just an image or a really cool movie special effect. The life that God promises, the life that Jesus gives to us, is real and true and for us right now. When we come to the table, the presence of Jesus fills us, and we are given gifts of forgiveness, salvation, and new life. Our old sinful lives are dried up and filled with guilt. And God looks past our selfishness and instead sees Jesus in all of us. We are given another chance, a new chance to live as God's children and as followers of Christ right here, right now. Lazarus walking out of the tomb shows us how we can return from this table, forgiven and alive with a life filled with God's love. Now, we don't know what happened to Lazarus after this amazing day. We don't often know what's going to happen to us when we come after Holy Communion. But we can count on opportunities arising where we get to share God's love, where we get to proclaim God's goodness, where we get to help others as they struggle, and as we get to strive to bring God's kingdom to hand. I expect that Lazarus did some of that. I expect that Ezekiel did some of that as well. We get to do all of that because we know that God's love is more than metaphorical. It is real and actual and right now. So then let's live and share all we can as we discover new ways to make God's vision into our mission. Amen. Please rise. I invite you to join with me as we continue our Lenten confession of sin. Holy God, have mercy on me in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. Oh, wash me more and more from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. My offenses, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. What is evil in your sight I have done. O purify me, then shall I be clean. O wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. From my sins turn away your face, and blot out all my guilt. A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear the good news of God's love. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And hear again of God's love. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. It is the love of God that saves us, and it is Jesus who sets free. Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. You have breathed into us the breath of life. Enliven your church. Deepen our partnerships with our companion churches around the globe and bless the work of missionaries who accompany them. Lord, in your mercy, Your Spirit brings life to creation. Enliven the natural world and uplift prophetic voices that turn us to the needs of the soil beneath our feet and the air all around. Lord, in your mercy, you redeem the world and its peoples. Free us from systems of oppression. Raise up leaders at all levels of government who work to promote the dignity of every human life. Lord, in your mercy, you weep when we weep. Be present with those who grieve or who are troubled by illness. You hear us when we call to you. Deliver us from the depths of our despair and free us from the worries that bind us. Lord, in your mercy. God of healing and grace, there are so many who need your presence and power. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these who are known to us who need your wholeness and health. We pray for Sharon, Phyllis, Cody, Randy, Kathy, LaRue, Judith, Diane, and Rhonda. Come, Lord Jesus, and save us all. Lord, in your mercy. Your Spirit of life dwells in our assembly. Bless the music ministries of this congregation and all who lead us in hymns of praise and thanksgiving and in songs of lament and prayer. Lord, in your mercy. You are the resurrection and the life. Even though we die, we will live. With thanksgiving, we remember all your saints who now live in your eternal love. Lord, in your mercy, we lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your steadfast love and your promise to renew your whole creation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the God of grace and glory go with you as you follow this Lenten path. Wherever it takes you and to whomever it takes you, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. I hope that your week is filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope.
May God's vision.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.